Psalm 127. Let's stand together, Psalm 127. Read it 5 verses. Familiar passage tonight. And you probably were wondering with the title where I'm going, but as you look down, I'm sure you get it. Psalm 127. Notice verse 1. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Did you hear that? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Father, please bless the message tonight. I pray as I preach what I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd please give me a fresh filling of thy spirit. Lord, I pray for all of us tonight. I know in some aspect this message pertains to us, whether it be children or coming children or grandchildren. I know that I believe there's something that applies to all of us. So please give us ears to hear. May we be attentive tonight. We pray that you'd remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight, that we might take something, Lord, from the message that would help us and be life-changing. So again, I commit the message to you. Ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've been dealing with the subject for the past few weeks, kind of a title of the series, if you will. If you notice it on your handout tonight, Facing the Realities of Life. Life has some hard realities, doesn't it? Now, I'd like to say, as I mentioned the last few weeks when I opened these messages, I've said things like this. I'd like to tell you that the Christian life has no problems. It's just smooth sailing till we meet Jesus, amen? I mean, no changes, no difficulties. I mean, once you're saved, that's it. Everything's easy, right? Wrong. We have to deal with stuff. Probably the hardest thing to deal with is ourselves. Look in the mirror. That's where the problem is. That's the biggest problem right there for all of us. And then we have other things on top of that. But when we talk about facing the realities of life, the premise of this series is this. We often face in the Christian life, life-changing events. We do. Sometimes they are unexpected events. Sometimes they are planned events. But nevertheless, they are always realities that all of us have to face. And when we face these life-changing events, when they occur, now for me, I like everything to stay the same. Are you like that as well? I am. I don't want anything to change, you know, stay the same. It's just fine the way it is. Doesn't work that way, though. Things change. Things happen. Life changes. And when we hit those life-changing events, what happens is that pressures in life can mount. Stress can build. And we need to make sure that our faith is strong, that what we say we believe about the Bible, we truly believe. And so we're able to make the right decisions during these critical times. Now, let's never forget what the Bible says, the promises that God gives us in His Word. For example, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." All things. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that anything that God allows in your life you can face and He gives you the strength to face it? He does. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." I want that peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, so far we have dealt with two subjects when we're talking about facing the realities of life. One of them we dealt with was grief. When we deal with the death of a loved one, it's a hard thing, particularly when it's sudden, particularly when someone close to us, someone that we love, that's a difficult thing to deal with. Better make sure our faith is strong when those things come up. We also last week dealt with temptation. We all face temptation, and sometimes we fail, don't we? But God doesn't want us to fail. We can have victory, And we're always tempted by things in this world. We're tempted by sin. Now tonight, we're going to look at another life-changing event, and that is, notice, when a new addition comes home. You say, what in the world is he talking about? A baby. A child. Children. Talk about children tonight. You know, it's amazing what happens to a household when a new baby comes home. It's amazing. That little bundle of joy changes everything in your life. But you hear that first cry, and it's so precious. The first bottle that you feed them, it's so wonderful. When you give them the first bath, you record it and put it on Facebook for everyone to see. The first diaper change, oh, it's so special. I remember bringing Felicia home. Of course, she would be our oldest, from the hospital. And of course, you get through all the, you know, the tension, if you will, and stress of getting to the hospital and, you know, the water breaking and all the rushing around and then the waiting around and then the rushing around and then the pain and all of that. And then the baby comes and you're excited about that. And then finally the day comes when you get to go home and you get that new car seat and you put it in the car. And you get that itty-bitty baby, and you put him in that car seat, and that car seat just swallows him up just about, unless it's a Knickerbocker baby. But then they swallow up the car seat. But I can only say that with you. You understand that, right? If I said that to anyone else, I was toast. So, but you get home, and I remember bringing Felicia home, and I remember when we brought her and we sat her down in the house. We went to your, it was at your mom's house, and we sat her down there, and I thought, okay, now what do we do? That's what I thought. What do we do? What do you do with her? So, you know, I'm a dad. That's how dads think, right? You know, we understand what to do with a toddler. That's it. Come on. You know, we wrestle with them. But the little guys, you know, what do? You just, I guess we just wait for her to do something. And so we did. I remember when the first cry came that night. I really do. And I remember my wife and I going back and forth. Oh, I'll get her. No, let me get her. No, let me get her. No, I want to get her. Let me get her. And then we, you know. But, you know, that soon changed. And so did a lot of things. So did a lot of things. You know what is sad is that many times the arrival of a new baby can cause many Christian couples to change, not for the better. It can happen. All of a sudden, people that have been faithful to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all of a sudden, they can't get there. They've served the Lord for years in a ministry, and all of a sudden, they stop serving. It got quiet in here, let me tell you, real quiet. Two grown adults have to stay home all day because one 10-pound baby has the sniffles. It happens. Some people change to the point that their entire life revolves around the baby. You see, that's not the way it should be. And that's what I'm trying to preach on tonight. Now, babies are a blessing. We read the verse, and I'll talk about it in a little bit. Verse 3, children, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They are a good thing, amen? Amen? A blessing from God. The fruit of the womb is his reward. They are a heritage of the Lord. But sometimes babies are an excuse for people to backslide. They are. They can even cause division and difficulty between a husband and a wife. Because everything changes. That's just the way it is. Now again, having a baby is a life-changing event. Again, not just the pregnancy and delivery, but all the changes and the adjustments that have to take place. So the question tonight we're going to look at is, what is the proper way to deal with this dramatic change in lifestyle? How do we deal with it? Well, let's look at that tonight. Notice number one, write this down if you would please. I want to give you the caution with children. Let me give you some cautions here. And can I say, this doesn't just apply to babies. It applies to children as well, parents with children. Why do couples sometimes backslide when they have a baby? Why? Why do we see husbands and wife find their relationship all of a sudden being strained? Why do children represent a potential danger, if you will, to parents spiritually? Why is that? Well, what are some of the cautions? And that's what we're going to look at. The cautions, what do you need to be cautious of as a parent when you have this life-changing adjustment? Well, here's some things. Letter A, write this down. You may have the wrong purpose for children. You may misunderstand why you have children. Why do you? I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But some people actually have children for the wrong reasons. And there's several wrong reasons, common wrong reasons, that people desire to have children. One of them, number one, is to be like others. You get into church, people have getting married and having kids. So you're married, so, well, everybody else is having kids, so I guess we should have them too. And they see the biological clock is ticking, if you know what I mean. And others are having children. So the reasoning behind it, the purpose is they want a child because everyone else has one. Can I say that's not God's reason for giving you a child? That's not what the Bible teaches. Besides, imagine to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and 18 plus years of your life so that you can be like everybody else is really not a good decision. Amen. And it's not why God gave you children. And so one of the wrong purposes is to be like others. There's another wrong purpose for children. Some people like to have children, number two, is to feel loved. I've known women that do not receive the love that they expect or they desire from their husband. And so they think, well, if we have a child, then that child will love me. And I will feel wanted. I will feel needed. And I'll experience that love, that void that's there that my husband's not giving me, which we should, by the way, find in the Lord. And I'll try to find this in a child. Again, that's not why God gives us children. That's not what the purpose of children are. There's another one, number three, and that is this. A little bit similar, but that is to fill a void in their life. Some people feel incomplete if they do not have children. Do you know that some of the greatest Christians in the world were never married and never had children? You see, we don't have to follow the same pattern that everybody else follows. There is no pattern to follow. There's the will of God. That's what we're supposed to do. But some people, they want to fill that void. But you know, God does not give everyone children. He doesn't. And that may be you. Maybe you're going to live your life and not have children. Nothing wrong with that if God hasn't given you children. But you don't have them just to fill that void in your life. You know who's supposed to fill that void again is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, and ye are complete in him. He should be all my sufficiency. That's it. Everything else, amen, is icing on the cake, if you will, because I don't deserve anything and neither do you. We deserve hell for all eternity. And think, we have the Lord Jesus Christ and we are complete in him. There's a fourth reason, number four, if you want to write this down as well. Some people, the purpose they have children is to relive their childhood. They want to relive their childhood through their children. And they almost view their children as showpieces. They do. They want to relive what they didn't do or didn't accomplish through those kids, trying to make them things like the best baseball player in the world, the best softball player. As you see the picture down there, the best golfer. Look at that guy trying to teach that little itty-bitty guy to hit a ball. Some people do that. They want to relive and make him the smartest in class. Oh, he's going to be famous. He's going to have his name in lights. He's going to be the next famous person on earth or the richest. Again, that's not why God gave us children. That's not why. So be cautious of the wrong purpose for children. Then letter B, also be cautious for the wrong priorities. You say, what do you mean by that? The wrong priorities. You know, some parents place their children, now listen to me closely. They place their children too high on the scale of priorities in life. They almost make their children idols. Everything revolves around them. Now, I believe children, and I believe the Bible would declare this as well. Children ought to be a high priority in life, no doubt. But some people take it to the extremes. I mean, they're over the top, if you will. And there are some unhealthy attitudes that a parent can have about their child. And that's not a good thing for the child. It's not a good thing for your marriage. And you're not going to fulfill God's purpose for that child either. Notice some of the things that people say, these wrong attitudes. Some people, I'm going to spend every moment possible with my child. That's a wrong attitude to have. Every single moment. They won't put their baby down. They won't put their baby in the nursery. Oh, no, nobody's getting this one. You know, it's funny, the first child usually syndrome, usually they go through that, you know. Did you wash your hands before you touch them? By the third, you know, you're basically giving them to anybody that's going to take them. But there's this philosophy, again, that they want to spend every moment possible with their child. They won't enroll their child in the Christian school. They won't allow their child to play with other children because it's all about them. Watch that philosophy. Notice the second one. I am going to build my life around this child. That's a warning sign as well. Parents are not to build their lives around the child. You know why? Because your children are not going to live in your house forever. You have them for a short period of time. You train them up, and then you send them out. That's God's plan. Amen. And you kind of smile when you do that sending out part, don't you? Amen. Just kidding. My daughter's here, so good girl. But anyway. Don't build your life around it. Here's why. Because when the children go, you're going to be living in the house with a spouse that's a stranger to you because you've built your life around the children and not around your marriage and God. So be careful there. Be careful. Notice the third one. Here's another wrong attitude. I'm never going to let this child out of my sight. Now, all of us want to protect our children from an evil world. And I understand that there should be certain limits, you know. Don't go out of the yard. I want to be in sight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who wants to physically guard their child 24 hours a day. Again, you don't want to go to school. You don't want anybody to hold them and all of those sort of things. Be careful of that. And then there's a fourth one. Notice this one and listen closely as well. I'm going to shield my child from anything negative. Now, I do not agree with the philosophy, and I believe we can prove it from the Bible, that you should expose your child to wrong or sin. It's never right to expose your child to sin. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those parents that isolate their children. There are parents that even isolate their children in the church. They won't allow them to go to Sunday school with kids of their own age. They won't allow them to participate in VBS because those other kids might taint their kids. Come on now. They might talk to a bus kid in Sunday school, so they keep them right by their side, trying to shield them from everything. Again, parents need to be careful that you don't place your children too high on the scale of priorities. Don't go over the top with this thing. Because, again, it is a wrong priority. So be cautious that you don't have the wrong purpose. Be cautious that you don't have the wrong priorities. But then thirdly, in letter C, be cautious that you don't have the wrong product. You're not aiming wrong. Here's what I mean by that. Hold your hand here because we're coming right back to Psalms in a little bit. And go over to Malachi chapter 2. Do you know that many parents, and this is the one here for a moment, I'd like for us to really think about it and let it sink in. Malachi chapter 2. Many parents have the wrong product in mind when raising children. How many parents we have? Raise your hand if you have parents that are still in the home. Okay, let me ask you something. Half the hands went down after that. Ask yourself this question. What are you trying to produce? What are you trying to produce? Now watch this. Malachi chapter 2. Look what God wants. Malachi 2:15. And notice we read, and did not he make one? He's talking about marriage there because in chapter 14, verse 14, He was talking about the Israelites were putting away their wives. They were divorcing them. And he says in this, verse 13, "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Now notice verse 15. "And did not he make one," talking about husband and wife, "one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one?" Why one? Here it is. "That he might seek a godly seed." You ought to circle that sentence. One of the reasons that God has given you children is because he wants that child to come out godly. Godly. Now, let me explain that. Are you trying to produce a good child, or are you trying to produce a godly child? You see, there's a big difference there. Many Christians, if not most Christian parents, are aiming to just have a good child, and they're not aiming to have a godly child. Here's what I mean. Their goal is that they have a child that works hard, and that's a good thing, and that they have a child that gets good grades, and that he stays out of trouble, and that he doesn't do drugs. And he doesn't do things like have children out of wedlock, and he goes to college, and he makes a good living, maybe has a career, and they're satisfied with that. Now, all of those things I just listed are good things. Nothing wrong with those things. They should have character. They should work hard. They should stay out of trouble. They shouldn't do drugs. They shouldn't have kids out of wedlock. It's okay to go to college, the right college anyway, and it's okay to make a good living. They're great, again, but if that's all you accomplish as a parent, you failed in the eyes of God. Because God's desire is that you produce a godly child. Again, that he might seek a godly seed. You see, a godly child loves the Lord. A godly child serves the Lord. A godly child is faithful to church. A godly child grows up to have biblical standards, serves the Lord in his local church, lives a Christian life, is a godly husband or a godly wife, whatever pertains to that person. You see, that's the kind of child that God expects you and desires that you rear. So be careful, be very careful when you think of this child coming into your home and you raising children, that you do not have the wrong purpose there, that you do not have the wrong priorities, and you're not aiming at the wrong product. Be careful. There's a caution. Notice, secondly, not only the caution with children, notice the realization with children. Now, those were some warnings. Now, let's go back to Psalm 127, and let's look at verse 3. We must realize what we have when God gives us a child, when we have children to raise. That's what I'm trying to tell us tonight. The realization. Let's get to the Bible. Notice we read in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now notice that the Bible says that a child or children are an heritage. What is an heritage? A heritage is kind of like a family heirloom. Think of it that way. It is something, perhaps it could be a piece of jewelry, it could be, and I'm talking in general now, but it is something that is passed down from generation to generation. Sometimes we have something that was great-great-great-grandpa's watch, or maybe his pocket watch that he handed to his son and handed to his son and handed to his son and handed to his son, and that person receives it, and not to keep through his lifetime, but then hand it on to the next generation. That's kind of what a heritage is. Again, it's like an heirloom. So it's something that has been passed on from one generation to another. Now watch this, parents. Children are not for you to keep. They're mine. They're not yours. If you think they're yours, you haven't realized what the Bible teaches. They are not yours. They are a, and you might want to write this down right under that, in that little blank space. You might want to write, children are a temporary trust from God. That's what they are. They are a temporary trust from God. They are our stewardship, and they are our stewardship only for a little while. Now watch this. They are given to us like a heritage, right? They're given to us to raise for God, to train for God, and equip them for His service, and then pass them along. And then they're to do that to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. That's why we have them. Again, they are given to us as a stewardship. I mean, think about the awesome responsibility that you and I have to train our child up in such a way that they can be used of God in a greater way than ourselves. You know, often when you get one of those heirlooms, as time passes, they increase in value because it becomes something collectible. That's the idea with children. We are to train them to be better Christians than us, to serve God better than us even. That's what we're to do. What a stewardship we have. You see, children are not a reason for us to cut back on serving God. Well, I have a child. I can't go to service. What? Well, I'm just too busy. We have adjustments to make. Hold on a minute now. You've missed the reason that God has given that child to you. I tell you what, I can't tell you how thrilled I am when I hear that when we have couples in our church, husbands and wives that are having children, and the very Sunday after they had that child's in the nursery, and they're sitting there in the pew or the seat there in the auditorium. That's awesome to me. To me, that shows that somebody's got it right. Somebody understands. Somebody gets it. Again, I'm not talking about if somebody's sick. You understand that, or you can't. I'm talking about just this new adaptation of your life. All of a sudden, everything changes. It's not supposed to be that way. You're to raise them for God. They're a stewardship. Realize that tonight. And then thirdly, number three, notice not only the caution with children, the realization with children, how about some directions for children? So notice what's said here in Psalm 127. Again, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Look at verse 4. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man." Notice children are compared to arrows. Now, I shoot a bow, and I don't always hit the target. I don't. But I'll tell you what I do. I always hit what I'm aiming for. I just aim wrong sometimes. You see what I'm saying there? And then that's like with children. You see, when I miss the target, it's not the arrow's fault. It's because I'm aiming wrong. The point is, children are going to head in the direction that you as a parent point them in. Do you know you create desires in your children as a parent? If they're bored with church or don't like the house of God, you better think about the possibility that maybe you have a bad attitude about the house of God as well. Because I could see the parents when they come in and they're excited, and I see these kids come in and they're excited. It's contagious. It's contagious. So the question is, what are you pointing at? Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The training of children needs to be both often and it needs to be early as well. Now, here are just a few principles. I'm going to shoot these off in the next few minutes here to remember when this new addition comes home. Remember these principles. Letter A, notice, children should be an addition to your schedule, not an alteration. I'll say that again. Children should be an addition to your schedule, not an alteration. Yes, it is a major change. I'm not making light of this having a baby and bringing them home. And boy, everything changes, no doubt. I mean, everything. Especially your sleep. Amen. You're not going to sleep for a long time. Amen. By the way, empty nesters, they sleep. Amen. But again, Yes, it is one of the life-changing events, but do not allow this new arrival to alter your schedule. Here's what I mean by that. If you were reading your Bible every day before children, you should read your Bible every day when you have them. Get up earlier. Stay up later. Figure it out. Again, it's an addition to your schedule. It's not to alter your schedule. If you were faithful to church before children, you should be faithful to church after children. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. There's a lot of changes that have to happen. You got to start getting ready a lot earlier. Amen. Amen. I mean, I've seen the stuff, man. I've seen the stuff you all have to pack whenever you go anywhere. I understand that. But the point is this. Adjust to it. It should be an addition. It shouldn't change the fact that you are raising them for God and you're being faithful to church. If you were involved in a ministry before children, you should be involved in a ministry when you have children as well. Did everybody leave? Did everybody? No, they're still here. Amen. Well, I can't serve anymore. I had a baby. Well, how does that affect serving in a Sunday? I'm not talking about if you just got out of the hospital. I understand all that. I'm talking about just this because there's another factor involved. Deal with it, amen? Make the adjustment. Do what you got to do. Keep serving the Lord. They've been given to you to train for God. What an excuse to say, I can't serve the Lord anymore because I have a baby. What are you talking about? Continue to serve the Lord. You see, again, add your children to your life rather than allowing them to dominate it. And yes, this will take some adjustment. Let it be. Write this down. Children should be secondary to their parents' relationship to God and each other. Did you hear that? Children should be secondary to their parents' relationship to God and to each other. It should be evident in your home that your relationship with God is number one. And then your relationship with your spouse is number two. Then comes the kids. Amen. That's the way it should be. It's supposed to be that way. I mean, if we were going somewhere and, you know, get something to eat and the kids are saying, Burger King, Burger King, Burger King. Let's go to Burger King. And my wife says, I don't want to go to Burger King. I want to go to Subway. Guess where we're going? We're going to Subway because they need to know that we're first. We love them. We care for them, but they don't override us. Amen. We are first. Again, very, very important. By the way, it's okay to have a trusted person to watch your child while you go and spend some time together at a dinner somewhere once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, it's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing. Just get away. Just take, you know, go out and cultivate your husband-wife relationship and not let the kids dominate everything. Amen? Very, very important. Don't put your children before your relationship with God, and don't put your children before your relationship with your spouse. Again, your relationship with God and your relationship with your spouse will continue far after the children leave the home. It will. Okay? Number three, letter C. How about this one? Serve God with your children. And one of the things we did, when we got saved, we got right involved with the bus ministry. All of us. Jared was just two when we got saved. He was 2 years old. We were bringing him on the bus, a two-year-old. That was a good thing. That was probably one of the best things we did. And we did it out of ignorance. We weren't trying to think this thing through. We wanted to be together. We said, let's serve the Lord together. Why not? And it was good. When we went to camp, guess what? We all went as a family. We went as counselors for teen camp. Guess what? The kids came with us. It was great. We served the Lord together. Now, where do people get the idea that I have to choose between serving God and family time? I don't understand that. Certainly there should be fun times and relaxing times. But again, I think children should also be involved in the work of God with you when they can. And again, that depends upon your age. Depending on their age and the circumstances, there are places to serve as a family. You could take your whole family to the nursing home. They love little kids. They love babies. They love that stuff. A nursing home ministry, it's great. If appropriate, you can bring them on the bus route. Just bring them on. Get a bus route. Go see a shut-in. We have plenty of shut-ins that need visits. Take the kids. Boy, they love that sort of thing. If they're old enough and can handle it, bring them soul-winning with you. I had Jared and come in when he was real little, just with me. Now, I had to train him. He'd do some things, you know, be kicking rocks and stuff while I'm trying to talk to somebody. Going over here picking flowers and things like that, you know. And you know. What I'm saying is this is all part of the training process. Make serving the Lord a family thing. Amen? I don't feel too popular tonight. Number four. Here's the last one. And that is this. Be a godly example to your children. Do you know one of the worst things you can do for your child? It's be a hypocrite. Be a hypocrite. They know. Hello? They know. They know what you are at home. They see you in the service nodding and amening and doing all this stuff and then going home and acting like the devil. They see that. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be real in your Christian. Now, all of us make mistakes. I understand. We all mess up. But get right about it. Be a Christian about it. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'm not behaving right. That sort of thing. Be a Christian about it. Not just a Christian at church. Not just a Christian when you're around somebody that's a church member. I'm talking about day to day. Because one of the greatest things that will provoke a child to anger and wrath is living the life of a hypocrite. Oh, it will. Live the same way at church as you do at home. And by the way, don't badmouth the church. Amen. Don't badmouth the preacher. Don't badmouth the Christian school teacher. Don't badmouth the school. Don't badmouth the staff, because it's going to come back to bite you. That is God-ordained leadership in your life. If you have a problem with God-ordained leadership, you as a parent go to them. Don't sit around the table and have all your kids listening to you. Dog the preacher, dog the school, dog the teacher, dog the Sunday school teacher. Because I tell you what, it's going to hurt you in the long run. Amen. It's going to hurt you. It is a sure formula for rebellion. It is. So tonight, simple. Having a child, going to change your life. Have two, three, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, that's okay. Can I throw something out there? Please don't be hard on people that have big families. Children are a blessing. Don't go, oh, another one? Okay. Well, next time that someone wants to give you something, like here's a $20 bill, you're going to say, oh, another one? Another $20 bill? Another $20 bill? No. You'd be like, yeah, that's a blessing. It's the way, same way it's supposed to be with children. They're a blessing of the Lord. Again, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. You know why? Because that means God has entrusted you to raise that whole group of kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege that is. Let's raise our kids for God. Amen. Let's pray.